Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down. All will be thrown down." As we look on our great and ancient buildings of worship, this church, for example, celebrating its 900th anniversary next year, how would you feel if I stood here in front of you and said, "These ancient stones will not be left standing"? Pretty devastated, I'm sure. Jesus is, of course, talking about the temple, and is talking as a prophet of both real events and talking metaphorically. The great temple in Jerusalem, the very place of God for the Israelites, was indeed razed to the ground in 70 AD by the Romans, and principally has remained in ruins ever since. Jesus is, of course, also talking about the reformation of the Jewish faith, that he will, in his words, destroy and rebuild the temple in 3 days, meaning that his death on the cross and the glory of his resurrection will change people's understandings of God for all time. And the thought of God being confined to an inner sanctuary of the temple will be literally ripped apart. Although not really understood by the listeners, both readings of the temple being destroyed would be totally devastating to the first people who first heard it. Jesus came to highlight the way that the old religion of loving your God and your neighbour as yourself had over the years become corrupted, and people were no longer following those very simple truths, those very wonderful two laws that would transform the world forever if only people lived by them. A way of reading scripture, which I like, is to imagine oneself into the scene, into the moment, as you like, and how you would react differently in different roles within the scene. What would I think to those words if I were a disciple? What would I think if I were in the crowd? What would I think if I were a member of the temple staff? And it is through, perhaps, that particular lens that I have been reflecting on this passage and the news of the last week, particularly the news of the last week regarding the making of you into the activities of the late John Smart and the resignation of Archbishop Justin Welby. And also remembering that today, nationally, is Safeguarding Sunday across many denominations in this country. Let us state at the start, we can't ignore the horror of the abuse by John Smythe, as we can't ignore the horror of any abuse that happens in the church. On Safeguarding Sunday, the Church of England website describes it as an important initiative for congregations to use their regular Sunday service to listen and talk together about how spaces can be created that are safe for everyone, and thank those working behind the scenes to make our churches safer for all. He goes on. Protecting vulnerable people is at the heart of the Christian message. Safeguarding Sunday is about every person in the church knowing why we do what we do and knowing what part they can contribute to that. It is a chance to recognise the role of the parish as the front line of safeguarding, and for parishes to show their communities the support they can offer to those who attend church and those who don't. The church, as an institution, is quite rightly under scrutiny given the news and the events of the past week. Many people, at best, consider the church to be irrelevant to their lives at the moment. Stronger critics see it as a corrupt institution, and an institution that could crumble, leaving not a stone left on top of one another, both metaphorically and physically. Now, let's just pause a moment. One tutor in theological college once told me that every sermon should be there to remind people that Jesus loves them. And Jesus does. Jesus does love you. Let us never forget that. On a practical note, one thing that does come out of the making report is that safeguarding in the parishes is generally now operating well. Also, what has been highlighted by many people this week is the good work done in the parishes. The things we support and pray for locally, nationally and internationally. Food banks, all the work we do with supporting works in Zambia, Sergio, all those things we're doing as a church. So what is our responsibility here? If you have any concerns regarding safeguarding about yourself or about another person, then you must report it. We have two excellent safeguarding officers in the parish, led by Jill Giovanni and supported by Yvonne Griddle. You can also report things to me, but one thing I so firmly feel about church safeguarding, and one thing when I have to say the Church of England has got it wrong, is that safeguarding should be independent and devolved from ordained ministry. But obviously, I owe the safety and welfare of you all as the most important part of my calling in serving you. Here. Well, perhaps bringing the love of Jesus into people's hearts is the principal calling, but after that, it's your safety and security. So talk to people. Hushing things up is when problems happen. The officers will listen and will advise of what will happen next regarding reporting the issue on. You will be listened to. You are valued. You are all loved. And here is where we think and pray for the future. Here is now when we walk together. At PCC on Wednesday, I'm praying that we will formally accept the vision statement. Could we have the slide up, please, if possible? The vision statement that we have of that one.
Sorry.
That's the one. Marvellous. At PCC on Wednesday, I'm praying that we will formally accept the vision statement that we have discussed, the various house groups and away days, that were open for all people to attend, and a statement that we have been using as a strapline on the newsletter for the past year. Everyone is invited. Everyone is welcome. Journeying together in the love of Jesus. This is something I believe that is central to us being a church together, to us being living stones, as Jesus tells us to be. Jesus invites and welcomes everyone. Now, that's not to say that we don't have to make amendments to our lives or put at the forefront of our thoughts, what can I do best to serve Jesus? What do I need to change about what I'm doing? We have to ask those questions when we accept the invitation. But we are all invited. Also, I want us to be together, sharing Jesus' love together and journeying with one another. I see us as a community walking together, being there for one another. Yes, I am nominally perhaps your priest here, I am the vicar here, but we're on the journey together with each other, all equally loved. Jesus' arms were opened wide on the cross to bring us all to him. That's why we're here, to carry on being church and being here in a loving community that is for everyone. This is not a community that should tolerate others, but accepts others. I don't like those words. Rather, we to be a church that walks together in Jesus' love, all equally valued, because we're all equally created in the likeness of God. Further, it is my prayer as a parish that we accept the Church of England initiative of living and prayers in love and faith, when churches are being offered a liturgical resource of praying for people who are committed to a partner of the same sex in a loving relationship that has been recognised by the state that has married them. This is a celebration of love and life. If you'd like to talk to me about the prayers of living in love and faith, then please do so. We're here to talk to one another about these things. Today, on Safeguarding Sunday, we remember and pray fervently for those who have been victims of abuse. We pray for the abusers that they will confess to and seek to amend the wrongs and hurts they have caused. We pray for safeguarding officers and all who are involved in the process of safeguarding. We pray that the church as an institution will seek to accept and correct the wrongs of the past. And then, I pray that we here in this church on the hill will be a beacon of hope for 900 years to come. A place of faith, hope, and love. These three graces which St. Paul tells us last forever. These graces that people out there need to hear about and know about. And it's our job to have that gospel to proclaim to them. So let us create a church of living stones where all are invited, all are welcome, and we will all journey together equally in the love of Jesus.